Blackstone Audio presents Atomic Adventures, Secret Islands, Forgotten N-Rays, and Isotopic Murder, A Journey into the Wild World of Nuclear Science by James Mahaffey. This book is read by Keith Sellenwright, a proud member of SAG-AFTRA. Written in memory of Dr. Monty V. Davis, advisor, mentor, and friend. He would have liked it. Author's note: stories told at night around the glow of the reactor. As the 20th century dawned in Georgia, there remained two sure sources of income left over from the antebellum days: growing cotton and draining the sap out of pine trees. These two commodities, cotton fiber and turpentine, sold well to the industrial northern states, but to dress them up for sale required steel straps to bind the bales and steel hoops to hold the barrels together. The closest place to buy these necessary items was in Pennsylvania. Finding this situation unacceptable, a mortgage broker in Atlanta, George Washington Connors, sold the concept of building a steel mill to a group of enthusiastic investors, and in 1901 the Atlanta Steel Hoop Company was formed. An old farm north of the city was the perfect place for it. The land, which had been fought over one afternoon in the summer of 1864 in the Battle of Peachtree Creek, was purchased from the brothers Kontz, A-L-N-E-C, and Captain James W. English. The site was cleared, a sprawling complex of buildings, steam engines, and open-hearth furnaces was erected, and a railroad spur was laid. A workforce of 120 men was hired. Soon, 50 tons of steel, formed into the desired articles, were rolling out of the mill per year, and Atlanta rejoined the industrial world after 37 years of sleep following the late unpleasantness. By 1907, the company was in explosive expansion, and the name was changed to Atlanta Steel Company. There were now more than 1,000 people drawing pay at the plant. Good times rolled, and steel hoops, bands, nails, rivets, welding rods, rebars, and Dixie steel barbed wire piled high at the loading platform. Most hirelings lived within walking distance in the Home Park neighborhood that had sprung up south of the plant from 14th Street down to 6th, with the main north-south venue being Kontz Street. It became the northernmost suburb of Atlanta, and as automobiles started being used for transportation, the streets were even paved. North of the plant, the deer still roamed. Downtown was hustling and jiving, with a new vaudeville theater, the Forsyth, built at the corner of Forsyth and Lucky in 1911. Always striving to beat the Atlanta Theater over on Edgewood Avenue, the Forsyth Theater was pleased to snag a one-week engagement of the world-famous Harry Houdini, extraordinary magician and escape artist, starting April 19, 1915. This was actually Houdini's second show at the Forsyth Theater. The first was announced in late December 1911, and his engagement was January 1st through 6th, 1912. To have him appear in Atlanta was still a world-class novelty in 1915. Working back from the original story, I believe that the 1915 show is the one depicted here. Houdini was a truly rare event. The Handcuff King worked the Orpheus circuit, which usually ranged west all the way to San Francisco, north to Boston, and south as far as Richmond when he wasn't entertaining Europe or Australia. To reach the masses in suburban Atlanta, some face time was in order. He hired a mule-drawn flatbed wagon on which he and his assistants could stand and perform. On Sunday, April 18th, after church let out and lunch had been eaten, he parked it on the east side of Kontz Street, halfway between 6th and 10th Streets, where the steep hill was briefly interrupted by a flat, vacant lot. Across the street was the big, normally muddy backyard of the house at 6th and Kontz. An artesian well in back of the house, fed by an underground tentacle of Peachtree Creek running north, kept the area in semi-swamp mode. Harry Houdini stood on the wagon, rolled up his sleeves, and started shuffling cards. Soon, a small wad of curious